God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. Amen. Amen and amen. Now, something that should have taken place while I was out sick or on my study break was to introduce you all to your elders. So, way here in the back, I want to give a gift to the man who is the chairman of the Council of Elders, and that gift is to go into his Bible or someplace. Anyway, it comes out of the Word of God where it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, Chris, declares the Lord, plans to prepare you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." So, as you continue to lead the elders, thank you, brother. I'd like to give the same gift to the vice chairman. He's never here, he's always on vacation. Well, welcome back, my brother.
Thank you.
And again, it says, "Gary, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Praise so God, bless you.
Amen. Thank you.
Now, you won't believe it, but yeah, among the elders, the one with the greatest legs, it's Pastor Eugene. So I give him the same gift.
Thank you.
And pray that he continues to bless you,
my brother.
Wait,
do they all have the same color? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
No, we just got that for you. You have a little feminine tendency. So, having said that, there's somebody very special who's here this morning. He's here to critique me. He's here to see whether or not I get to keep my license, my ordination. And I would like to ask Dr. David DeVries if he would stand, please. He's the executive director for Vinya, of which we are part and our name in the missionary church. So good to have you here with us, Dave. So for those of you that have come since I've been away, I'm really happy you're here. And I haven't had a chance to meet many of you, but we're grateful that you've been here. Now, you've heard the other preachers who are really exceptional. And now you'll know what the church has been stuck with for 42 years. I'm sorry, but yes, I'm back. But with that, on the screen in a moment, you're going to see Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. My church family has been being taught, and you're being taught this morning as a newcomer, that this is not just a book. People call it the Bible. It's not just a book. It is the living, active, authoritative Word of God. It has been spoken by Him. And he had certain people that became the authors to write it down for us. And so I've been trying to, for years now, to get the church family to enter into their DPE, their deep personal, what's the E, gang? Experiences with the Lord Jesus every day. And when they read this Word of God, to put their name in front of passages. Because you see, He's speaking to us. And as an individual, when we go into our DPEs, he is speaking to us individually. And he's going to say things to us through this living word. It is God breathed out literally. It comes from his heart. It comes out of his mind to his kids, whom he loves so very, very much. And that's why I love so many of you as well. I've had this wonderful, it's not a job, it's a calling. And I enjoy it, have enjoyed it many, many years now, and I am grateful. So I ask the church family each Sunday to take a passage out of my DPE, and we're going to read it together. And in the parentheses, you're going to put your name, because what is being said here is being said to you individually. It's also being said to all of us. It was originally being said to all the people who made up the Ephesian church in Ephesus many years ago. So here it comes every day to us as we open this marvelous book, filled with nothing more than the very words of our Heavenly Father. In our church family, many of us, not all of us, feel comfortable there yet, but you will find that as you meet more and more in your DPE with our Heavenly Father, you will find that calling him Abba is a treat. We call him Abba Father. That means daddy. Papa. I love it when I hear my grandchildren call out, Papa, because that's me. And they're addressing me. People who love me are addressing me, and I am nutty about them. And it's the same way for Abba. He is nutty about every one of you who have been born again and are genuinely one of his kids. So we're going to read together. You're going to put your name in there. I'm going to put Ron. You don't put Ron in there. You put your name in there. And we're going to read this aloud, and we're going to read it with a sense of strength in our voices. But read and listen with your spiritual ears as to what he's saying. Okay? Let's do this together. Ron, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, and as God in Christ forgave you. Now, there might be somebody here this morning that Abba is saying, hey, you and I know what's been going on over the weekend, and it's important that you forgive that person. There may be someone here who's not been compassionate with someone this past week, and he's saying here, I want you to be kind to one another, tenderhearted. So you see how he's speaking. He's saying, Ron, be kind to one another. Be kind, as the church family has heard me say, to the knuckleheads. Be kind, tenderhearted, compassionate. Feel what these folks are feeling. Some of them are really feeling hurtful today. Well, I feel some of your hurt. And I'm sorry you're hurting. I'm so very sorry. I got to meet with about 18 to 20% of the church at 9:30 this morning. They showed up to pray. 18 to 19% of the church. And it was a wonderful time hearing these people cry out to our Savior on your behalf and the behalf of others as well. So I encourage you to do the same thing if you've never done that. Create the parentheses in front of a passage of Scripture and read it out loud so that you hear the words of our Lord. He intended them to be heard. Get it? Good. All right. Having said that, I've been away from the pulpit for 4 Sundays. I want to thank Pastor Eugene for having filled in for me. I'm very grateful to Charles Clemens, whose book is back there, and I really encourage you, if you haven't, purchase it and read it. And then I just saw Rick come in. Oh, he's over there sitting next to the boss. What a kiss-up. Anyway, you heard Rick preach, and now that I've cut him down, Ron, be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Rick, forgiving one another. These guys are tremendous pulpiteers, teachers of the Word of God, and that's why I call upon them to come in my absence to speak with you. They're great guys. So family, during these 4 weeks, you'll recall I was going to start this particular message, and how should we now live is the title. I hope you pulled out your message notes. I have to be honest with you, the church has learned that Ron is kind of an odd dog. He gives us message notes and then he never gets to them. And that happened 4 weeks ago. And it just might happen this morning. Because during those 4 weeks and spending time away, like a dad, you are on my mind. Some of you more so. You have more issues going on. And with that in mind, I'd like to stop. See, here I go. I'm going to stop and do what I was not going to do. I was going to do something else, and now I'm going to do this. Would you bow your heads with me? Abba, this has been a week filled with a lot of pain. It's been a week filled with a lot of love, too. It's been a week where families have had to say goodbye to family members. And I'd like to call on the church family right now to come with me before you in this prayer and to pray for Stephen Langton, having had to say goodbye to his older brother. I remember when Kelly and I had to say goodbye to our brother, Donnie, at age 46. But Art lived a full life, masterful school teacher. But now he's gone. And so I ask you to please come to the Langton family. And I already suspect you've already been there multiple times and really haven't even left them, but you've been wanting, and you have been for those that have allowed to comfort them in their having to say goodbye to Art. So comfort Stephen, Geraldine, Ryan, Glenn, Ariel, comfort them each one in their having to say goodbye to this tremendous man. And it's in Jesus' name, Father, I ask this. And at the same time, Father, I thank you for the very good surgery that took place for Debbie Stafford yesterday. I thank you that the neurosurgeons are saying she will get to come home later today. We just thank you for answering our prayers concerning these things. And all the prayers that have been being offered up for Kathy Atkins and having to say goodbye to her daddy, may you continue to comfort her. Brett as well. The family, totally unexpected. I'm glad he was at the doctor's office when it happened. But my Lord, may you lift up our sister and our brother and bless them in the midst of this. And as Norietza goes through just having had a stroke, and the family needing to pull together to come together and help George and now Norietza. May you bless this family tremendously. For not only I, but all these that have joined me in this prayer, ask this of you, Abba, in Jesus, your Son's name. Amen. So yes, if you're a newcomer, I can do things like that, and I feel very comfortable doing it. He's great. Jesus is awesome. He is just the best. And I love being able to talk with him. And he loves being able to talk with each and every one of you in your DPE, if you haven't got that going yet. Having said that, I just want to remind you that for me, we're still entering into a fresh new year. We're finishing up the second month, getting ready for the third month. But for those of you that came out of last year and believe that this year doesn't seem to be looking too well for you, I just want to encourage you with these words. Failure is not a permanent condition. Would you say that with me? Failure is not a permanent condition. We're going to move forward in the power of God the Holy Spirit. He is tremendous, and he can help us to be very successful in this new 2025. Very successful. And know this, he wants each and every one of you who are born again, who are part of the family. He wants you to be successful, very successful. You can read about that in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He has made it clear, and you have shown this to me over the years, that you have great potential. We as a church family have great potential. But as individuals, he fills your life with God the Holy Spirit, and he wants you to use those skills that he gave you during that time you're in your mama's womb, being created. When you were born, these skills came with you from him. And then when you were born again, on that special day or evening, he gave you a spiritual gift mix to use as you stand with him and for him and to make a difference in this world. You have great potential this year, family. I will do my best this morning and every Sunday morning that I am here. And when I see you on campus or am invited to your home, I will water those seeds so that they will germinate and that there will be wonderful things in this great potential you have to begin coming forward, and that you even see yourself as a very successful son or daughter of the Most High God. You've been given, as I said, talents and spiritual gifts. You are very talented. You have been empowered by Abba Father. You are, as he has told us in that letter to the Ephesians, you are a masterpiece. You're not some trite garbage. You are created in Christ Jesus. You're created in Christ Jesus for good works. Amen. And with all this potential, with God the Holy Spirit living within you, he will take you on and on throughout the rest of this year to display these talents and good works and do marvelous things for him. Because you need to remember what I told you 4 weeks ago, and that is this. Each and every one of you, in Christ Jesus, you are royal priests. Royal. You're part of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords family. You are royal priests. You have been placed in a holy nation. I'm not talking about the United States of America. I'm talking about His holy nation. You are His prized possession. Don't forget these things, family. Don't let the world run you down, make you pessimistic, and so forth. Remember, you are His prized possession. He picked you out of the 7+ billion people on this planet to be His. Why? I have no idea. But He did. He chose you out of all these people to be His sons and His daughters, to be His sons, brothers and sisters, to be our friend. You are His masterpieces, and you've got to carry this into this new year in a fresh, fresh way. As you and I look toward going deeper into this new year and a fresh beginning, I suspect, like me, you're wondering what God has in store for you. I'm trying not to wonder anymore. I've already been told I'm going to have knee surgery the end of April. They're going to take out this knee that I blew out 29 years ago that's been bone on bone ever since. So they're going to remove it, and they're going to give me some metal, I guess. They won't pull Kathy out of line when we go to the airlines. They'll pull me now, thinking I'm a terrorist. Can you believe that? They usually pull Kath out of the line. The little old lady from Stevenson Ranch. The little young lady. Well, I certainly cannot predict the future. I can remind you of one certainty. I can remind you of one certainty that's true for every committed follower of the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm choosing my words very carefully. Committed. You see, there are lots of people that call themselves Christians, but they're not committed to Jesus. They're not even sure what that means. They're not committed to the Lord. They don't have DPEs, deep personal experiences with Him. The Bible is not one of their favorite books to read. These folks call themselves Christians, but every morning they don't come to the Lord in a DPE, come and die. Come and die to the unholy Trinity, as you've heard me call it. Me, myself, and I. Come and die to self, selfishness. They don't come as mathetes, as the disciples of our Lord Jesus. They don't come to take up their cross every morning and to follow Him into the day, having received a briefing from Him as they have marched off to get in their car, to go to work, to go to school, to go to wherever it was they were going to go, the market. No matter what comes in 2025, Abba has called you and me to partner with Him in reaching people for Christ. Genuinely reaching out with Him as our lead and sharing the good news of Christ, the gospel, with people in our culture, and to find ourselves individually, as a family, as a church, coming against the evil that has manifested itself so clearly over the last 12 years in my understanding, in our culture. Tremendous evil in our culture. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, if you go to page 7 and then on page 8, you've got a little bit of room. If you would add these things in there in your message notes before we actually get to page 1. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Apostle Paul painted a word picture for us, and Abba points out his purpose for us. He says, and I quote, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." We've been created in Christ Jesus, family. This is special. Very special. This isn't something that happens to everyone. This happens to those whom he has chose out of the world, those whom he has set aside for his prized possessions. You who have been born again. The Greek word translated workmanship is poema, from which we get our word poem. I'm not much of a poet, and I know it. Regardless of your age or social status right now, your life is like a poem. Abba is writing. He's writing this poem in your life, not to put on a shelf somewhere, but to be read by those who are around you. I got to spend time with so-and-so. And the way the Lord is working in his life, her life, is amazing. God wants others to see your life story and your stand for him. You hearing me? He wants others to see your life story and your stand for him. God has placed each of us in a particular home, family, church, community. If you and I are going to influence the culture in which Abba has placed us, we must embrace 3 biblical convictions. So I'd like you to write really small in those spaces on those 2 pages, these 3 convictions, because it's important that you adopt them this morning, this coming week, and carry them forward in this fresh new year. 3 biblical conditions. The first one is Abba is alive and active in the culture. Abba is alive and active in the culture. Would you say that out loud with me? Abba is alive and active in the culture. We see this conviction demonstrated by the Old Testament prophet Elijah when he stood before an evil king by the name of Ahab. He said, and I quote, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand," end of quote. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Elijah wasn't serving a set of notions, a set of ideas. He was serving the living Jehovah God. Abba is alive, and he's still active in the American culture today. Get it? Good. Number two, the second conviction. We are Abba's representatives to the culture. We are Abba's representatives to the culture. Say that out loud with me. We are Abba's representatives to the culture. You'll find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Paul wrote, under the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit, to the Corinthian church family in his second letter. He said, "We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us." End of quote. Our calling as God's ambassadors. Remember, we are his royal priesthood. We are part of a holy nation. Our calling as God's ambassadors is to articulate the King's message, the King of Kings' message, clearly and boldly to those around us. We are Abba's representatives to the culture. Get it? Good. God's still looking for men and women like the prophet Elijah to be his spokesperson to the world. He is looking for mighty men and mighty women. He is looking for these mighty men and women of valor to go with him, the Holy Spirit, into the world, around each of where you find yourselves, like Elijah, to be a spokesman for him to the world. And he promises to give you his power, this one who is all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. He promises to give you his power and protection to those who stand with him. The Word of God says, quote, "God strongly supports those whose heart is completely his." End of quote. 2 Chronicles 16:9. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The last conviction here is that Abba is able to change the culture. Well, that's good news. Abba is able to change the culture. You should say that with me. Abba is able to change the culture. And this world continues to, as this world continues to deteriorate, darken, become more and more noticeably sinful, evil, we can get discouraged, or at least I'm speaking for me. I have been discouraged the last several years, feeling as if we're not making a difference. I've shared the gospel more times than I've had people receive it. Very, very sad. Two people shared the gospel last week. Thank you. If you're new with us, those who share the gospel take a white rose and put it over here. It's just an encouragement, not just. It is an encouragement to us. Over here we have red roses as well. Those will go over here when one of us who shared the gospel heard this person receive the gospel and make a decision to follow after Christ. So as the world continues to deteriorate and darken, we can get discouraged, feeling as if we're not making a difference. The prophet Elijah, too, went through periods of loneliness and deep discouragement. Excuse me. But as we seek to carry our Abba's purpose, as we seek to carry out Abba's purpose, through periods of loneliness and discouragement, hang tough because of what I said earlier in introducing this conviction. God is able to change our culture in America. But listen closely here. In influencing the culture, you can rest assured that he wants to use each and every single one of you who, and you know how I emphasize this, because everybody that goes to church isn't born again. But there are many of you who have been born again. You are truly a son or a daughter of Abba Father. So he wants us to go not alone on these missions, but with someone partnering with us. And in our case, it is our Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit who goes with us. In my former career, before going to squad meeting, we would, those of us who are going to go on watch, on duty, we would go down to the locker room. And then we would change out of our civilian clothes into uniforms. We all had to be noticed as something, in this case, a peace officer. It'd be wonderful that people would see in the church, not a bunch of people who look like they have the flu, but people who are really excited about being a follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. They just had their DPE and they got their marching orders for the day. Amen. As I was in that locker room, many of you have heard about Shane Talbot. He was my partner for a long time. And we both put on our uniforms. And to cinch our trousers on, we had a belt. And then we would put our Sam Brown belt over that belt. And on that Sam Brown belt, you would see our sidearm and holster. You would see, back then it was CN gas, not pepper spray. We would have two pairs of handcuffs. I'd have three magazines on my belt, filled with bullets. And then we'd go up to the squad room, we'd receive our orders, and we would go out into the world, that deep, dark, evil world. As we go out in the world, people see that we are law enforcement officers. Wouldn't it be great if America would wake up tomorrow morning to the church? What is it about these people? They are so marvelously different from us. They love us in spite of ourselves. They help us. They make sacrifices for us. They don't even know who I am, but yet there they are, just like a cop, coming in to save my life. And it's wonderful to share with you today that my sergeant is sitting here in the worship center. And he thinks I did a better job with you than I did on the streets. But it's great that he's here. Our Lord is going to partner with you, family. Here's a bullet. We can trust in the power of God's word to change people. We can trust in the power of God's word to change people. Write that down. Page 7, page 8. We can trust in that to happen. His word changed me. I didn't used to be the person you've come to know. I was a horrible person. Horrible. But he changed me through his word, the gospel of our Lord Jesus. Another bullet would be, we can depend on the Holy Spirit to work through us. If he's living in us, he isn't there just to sit back and watch TV with you. He didn't just come into your life to go to spring training to watch the Dodgers. He is in you to empower you to do the great and the awesome things he wants to do through you in this coming year to make you a successful son or daughter of the Most High God. Another bullet point. And we must practice the power of prayer. I mean, what a thrill to be with 18 to 20% of our church family for 30 minutes and to listen to people crying out to the Lord. For many of you and for others who are in hospitals today and for Israel and what they're facing and what they've recently been going through and are still going through. In James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. James chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. The half-brother of our Lord, he wrote this, quote, "The effective prayer of a righteous man," that can be a woman too, "the effective prayer of a righteous man and woman can accomplish much." I think about the prayers that are being offered for Debbie Stafford yesterday as those neurosurgeons were doing their work to go up into her brain. The effective prayers of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years, 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. End of quote. The prayers of a righteous man or woman can avail much, are effective. Elijah reminds us that our believer empowered by the Word of God, a believer empowered by the Word of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and regular communication with God can be a real world changer. Are you hearing? The same is true of you. The same is true of every single one of you in Christ. I can't wait to see what God our Father, what Abba is going to accomplish in these coming months through you. Through you. And as he does these things, may he be wonderfully glorified. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And it is that time. As you look at your message notes, how should we now then live? If you're new with us, there are three essential questions that's always on page 1 of our message notes. They're there for a specific reason, to help bring the message he has me deliver to life. To apply each one of those questions to the message as it's being presented or after it has been presented and for the next several days, so that what he wanted you to hear with your spiritual ears, you not only got to hear, now you know what to do with it. Now you know what to do with it. So, A number of recent surveys have asked Americans how they feel about the state of our country. And the overwhelming response is sadness. Sadness. For example, in an NBC News poll, almost 3/4 of Americans said our country is headed in the wrong direction. And it's been that way for nearly 12 years. Would you show that photograph, please? There's America. We have a cultural revolution going on. Half of it wants to go that way. The other half wants to go that way. I'm glad it's not a fight with bullets flying. But America is going through a deep, deep sadness. I've given you the citation. You can go look at it yourself. The news report said, we have never before seen this level of sustained pessimism in the 30 years plus history of the poll. So if you have sensed pessimism, frustration, sadness over the last decade plus, you're not the only one. You're not the only one. So I have a question there. What is the world coming to? Where are we headed? The answer is there's no one answer, really, but one event toward which all of history is marching is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The second advent. And that day is closer than ever before. Get it? Good. Now, going back to the title, how should we then now live? If you want to know, you'll come back next week. Next week, you'll come back and join me. So let's pray. Abba, Father, we thank you so much for speaking into our hearts this morning. I pray we have had hearts to collect the things necessary for us as individuals, that we may take it, put it to work in our lives, and do awesome, great things for you, Father. Please, please, may we be tools in your hands for your glory. May we be vessels of honor, not those common vessels that carry out the refuse and so forth. Please, Father, please bring this message that you've just begun to life for us. And again, Father, we ask you to comfort the Langtons, the Atkins, Debbie Stafford, that you would speak into George and Norietz's lives, and that good things are about to take place for each and every one of them. So, Father, it's been a wonderful morning. I pray that you have sensed our love, our deep love, our wonderful love for you. May you receive it, and you know in our hearts if it's real or not. I do pray that our love is real for you, my Lord. And it's in your Son's great name that we offer up this prayer and begin this message. Amen.